Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2015, and we are welcoming back our friend, Ed Roman, to the show. Good afternoon, Ed. How are you?
Miss Catherine, my dear, 13 is a lucky number.
It is, isn't it?
It is in my book, anyway.
Don't, you know what? I'm with you on that. How are you?
Oh, I've been a busy little bass playing beaver boy. I've been traveling all over the United States over the last 6 months, playing a lot and being at award shows. And in March, we were in Austin during South by Southwest for the Red Gorilla Music Festival. And we were back in Toronto for a benefit show. And then I was back down in New Jersey again playing in Cape May for the Cape May Music Festival. So all of it really riding on the acclaim of the last record and what's gone on with Letters from High Latitude. So it's great just to see the music out there and people enjoying it, it getting played on a lot of radio stations. I was just nominated here this week in Canada by the International Broadcasters Association as number one for the country charts out of number 10. So that's amazing. It feels like home. My post the other day was like, woohoo, thanks, Canada. And so that's nice. I like connecting with people and seeing the art working out there and then being able to connect with people.
Absolutely. A huge congratulations on that, Ed. That's fantastic. And that's just really big.
I did, and then I picked up the award by the International Music and Entertainment Association. I was down in Ashland, Kentucky, playing at the Paramount Theater for the awards ceremony, and I came home with Adult Contemporary Artist of the Year, which was like, woohoo! It's a nice thing. And actually, while I'm going to be away for another couple of weeks, the Independent Music Awards out of Hollywood, California, I'm up for 3 different awards for the last video I just did, I Found God, for best video under $5,000, and then there's the other awards are best independent album and independent single. So I'm excited. I won't actually be able to be at the awards. You can't be in 2 places at the same time. So fortunately, somebody will accept the award for me, and if that's the case, it's just great. Like I said, I'm I'm busy, but I'm happy because everything is kind of connecting.
It sounds like everything is really falling into place, and these awards, I mean, my God, it's like, that's just so huge.
Well, you know what, and it is, and at the same time, there's a lot of hard work, too. I mean, Michael Stover's been really pushing the gun and making sure people out there know what I'm doing. And aside from that, everybody that's been a part of the projects, whether it be guest musicians, Michael Jack in the studio, people that have helped me duplicate the record, a copycat in the U.S. Everything has made it work the right way. Ken Hall, he did part of the artwork for the album. My other friend Felice, he did the photography. It was just like family, you know. And that's the other thing too. Even when I'm getting the acclamation, which is nice, I'm also pointing out to a lot of people, hey, we did this together. You know, I wouldn't be getting the award and be doing this without the support of people and radio and television and magazines and all of that. So I see it as like a team victory.
Absolutely, a group effort, a team victory, and there's just a lot of moving parts, you know, that goes on behind the scenes, I'm sure, that, you know, we just don't know about. I'm sure there's just so many people involved and so much talent involved. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good. Sounds like you might need a vacation.
Well, yeah, we are. That's what we're doing. It's the next 2 weeks. We're headed to Jamaica.
To me,
it's the jewel of the West Indies. It's such a beautiful place. If people have been there, they know what I mean. If you haven't, you have to really experience it. I mean, I've been to Barbados and I've been to Bahamas, but Jamaica to me seems to be like, you know, the place where culturally and just it's oozing this energy. And the people there are incredible. We've met so many people. We've got now godchildren that are there. We support a bunch of families, another church that's there as well, the African Zionist Church. all of that makes our lives really good, and it makes us feel connected to this sort of organic feeling of life again. Because Jamaicans themselves are hardworking people. They just don't, the wages there are very low, and the government
right.
is, you know, going through a lot of trouble, just like a lot of other countries, you know, getting bailed out by the IMF and things that aren't good like that. But what they do still have that we in some ways have kind of lost is sort of this rural cultural connection to each other. What I mean by that is that, you know, we live in this very insular environment in North America where we live in our homes, our little boxes, we text, we, you know, we do all these kinds of things. But there, you can go to a Three Corners in some little place and start talking to people, and, you know, in a very short period of time, there's 20 or 30 people all sort of roving around, you know, communicating, and heavy conversations about farm and agriculture, because, you know, that's kind of what I'm about, and there's a lot of farmers in Jamaica, a lot of people that I know that grow food. All of that, to me, just really makes me feel more connected as a person, makes me realize, look, you know, we need to be more involved in our communities and the things that go on around us, and even the things that we consume, you know, like, I mean,
mm-hmm.
the last record has messages and music on it that involve that kind of way of thinking and growing food and participating in food culture. It's not just like, well, I'm a foodie. It's like, no, it's the health and well-being of most people. And Jamaica's
right.
still a place where you can start, like, you know, a conversation with somebody who knows not of, you know, seed patents and things like that. So, for instance, they have a government-sponsored seed bank, and a lot of the seeds that are there that are, you know, obtained by the farmers, they can't, you know, they were saying, well, we can't save the seeds. It doesn't regerminate. And I was, like, pointing out, well, there's patents and genes that are in the seed that don't allow you to do that. And, you know, inside that conversation, you know, the horrific look on their faces and at the same time the realization that they're going to go and talk to other people about what that is and the importance of sharing that kind of information. And that's, you know, why I even wrote the song Jamaica on the last record. To me, it's a place that is very special. Some of the most incredible artists that, you know, I love, whether it be, you know, socio-political people like Marcus Garvey or even people like Bob Marley or Peter Tosh or, you know, Bonnie Wailer. I had the pleasure of actually meeting Bonnie Wailer, who's the last surviving singing member of Bob Marley and the Wailers. So all of that, to me, was important to, you know, exemplify somehow in some kind of a song. And I, now I'm going to go back, and it's been a busy couple years, so it's a bit of a break and seeing some friends and family and hanging out, some good food, little rum, some beach time, all of that. At the same time, going to be shooting a video for that, because there it's so beautiful and picturesque. It's so easy to capture what I want to visually that will really summate all the lyrics.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? That sounds amazing. And I was going to ask you if you were going to do any work, quote-unquote work, while you're down there, you know, and especially a video. I'll be really looking forward to seeing that, Ed.
Well, and where we're staying, too, is not the quote-unquote resort. It's this beautiful little three-cottage area just outside of Ocho Rios, and it's owned by Papa Curvin, who is a Jamaican recording artist who's been living his life in Germany for the last 40 years and playing music. But he built these three little villas, and the main villa is like a recording studio. It's got a full-on studio in it, and then there's two little cottages. So we have one of the cottages. And we're just excited to be there and hang out with him and meet other people. And whenever I'm there, I'm always playing anyway. So it's very easy for me to hook up and start jamming with people.
How fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
That's going to be just a really great vacation and a real learning experience as well.
Well, it is, too, and just
like
another way for me to illustrate to people visually how beautiful the place is and the potential.
Yes.
There's so much potential for so many things in the country itself that they themselves don't need to be bailed out by the International Monetary Fund and things that are like that actually put them further into debt. And there's a lot of other problems, like especially on the island with corporate farming. There's a lot of the native species of different types of things like date palms, coconuts, mangoes, you name it, that are dying as a result of the heavy pesticide sprays of the farmed and or modified plants that were brought onto the island for consumption. So when you're, you know, you're buying a product and it's coconut water, it may be mass farmed and genetically modified and sprayed. So that's one of the alarming things about the island that they're really concerned about. And how do we save our native species, you know? And there aren't any rules and regulations in place for that kind of a thing, you know, as far as bylaws and things are concerned, or protection laws that are in place. But, you know, corporations want the land to be able to grow and make a buck, right?
Make a buck. It's always about the almighty dollar, isn't it?
Yeah. What was it? Pappy Coin Sutton said, somebody sees you want making a dollar, they want half.
There you go. I know.
No.
Unbelievable. So talking about growing food and everything, tell me more about that, because I wanted to share with you and our audience that I started getting into gardening and growing food this year. So any tips you could give us beginners would just be fantastic. I know I love growing tomato plants. And
well,
I'll
here,
tell you, the taste is just incredible.
Clap, 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 Catherine, because good for you, first of all.
Thank you for
doing that. And the best tip that I was taught is to pay attention to what your plants are asking for.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, you may find it as a beginning person that's just started into gardening to sort of guerrilla garden. And what that means is you're getting those big planters, you're using good organic soil, like a three soil or four soil mix that's got compost, it's got earth in it, it's got an organic peat or something in it. And you don't need to buy the commercial brand stuff. It's actually more expensive. You can go to a local greenhouse. They usually sell it in a pile somewhere. They'll bag it for you. Usually they even have some in bags ready to go. And what you do is start with four or five things that you can kind of like, okay, I can watch these every day. I can nurture them. I can kind of make sure that they've got the right amount of water and sunlight. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that, like, sunlight is really crucial for vegetable gardening. They think, well, you know, you can't have a lot of – it's all direct sunlight. That's the best thing. If you have a house or a backyard or a property, if you're in a city space or a residential space, the southern side or southeastern side of your house – is probably the best part of your house for growing that kind of style of stuff, because you're getting a lot of morning exposure of light, and then you're getting most of the southern exposure from the day. As the sun rises over the course of the summer, it's directly above you. So your exposure on the southern side is crucial. So if you're being shaded all the time, you're not going to get the plants to the right size to start to produce fruit. So, for instance, if you started with some tomatoes, maybe some peppers, you could even do some eggplant. And inside of each of those buckets, those 15-inch diameter or 18-inch diameter buckets, you can put 2 to 3 plants. And then what you can do is, as the plants grow, you're pruning them. Like tomatoes, they actually need pruning. And the branches themselves that we call the suckers that grow straight up off of the plant need to be pulled off. And consequently, that induces the flowering process, as well as more fruit, and more of the energy is pushed into the fruit as opposed to the actual stalk of the plant growing more and more tentacles that it doesn't need. So you got to kind of do so. Now, when you pick a few things like that, like then you can observe them well. You're not inundated with 50 things or 40 things that you're unsure about, and you're trying to plant them all. Well, let's try carrots. Let's try this. Let's try that. For me, for the first bunch of years that we moved up to this area, I did peanuts because the soil here is loamy. It's loamy soil. It's almost just like it is in the U.S. and southern U.S. as well as out east, even here in Canada. And I had like 5-6 rows of peanuts, and they did fairly well, but they're very tricky. And I started to go, you know, this is more trouble than it's worth. And in turn, we started to grow something completely different and save that space for something else. But it was like, well, I wanted to try it, right? But growing just a few things means from year to year, or by the next year, hopefully, you've gone, this worked really well. I got to remember to do this. and it produced this kind of fruit. And so you learn from each one of those experiences. That's the best thing as a gardener or any, is just paying attention to what your plants, and from year to year, you chalk that up in your, you know, mental gardening toolbox of, hey, do you remember how this worked? And so you start planning those things even ahead of time. If you're plot gardening, if you're growing outside and you've got, you know, a 15 by 20 space or a 10 by 20 space, your soil needs to be prepared every year. You need to get, you know, compost in it. That's the great thing about having a compost machine. In your, if you've got a garden like that, you can have two of them out there. All the byproduct of your house, from banana peels to eggshells to salmon skin and bones, to without any kind of heavy meat protein. You can have the fish. It's okay. It's biodegradable. Mm-hmm. It's no different than stuff that's going on the West Coast as far as the earth machines are concerned and the way that the forests and stuff grow. But all that then doesn't go in the trash or waste. Your waste is just dry stuff most of the time, you know, paper towels, Kleenex and whatever, and the recycling. But so all that then every year it's turned and it goes into the garden. And you need to also, it's good to get some manure. Local farmers are usually sometimes wanting to get rid of manure, and you can pay them for a little bit. You don't need much for a big spot like that. And when you condition your soil every year, you've fed it, which means it's going to feed your plants. And a lot of people think, well, the weather's nice, it's June, let's start our tomatoes. Well, with the weather conditions that we have, you actually have to be starting your tomatoes like 2 weeks ago. But, you know, and if you haven't, start them now, because they need time to get healthy and big before you put them outside. And they have the chutzpah to be able to stand up to the little bit of wind and the normal sunlight and everything that's there. So it's good to get them going now. You know, even earlier in March is not a bad thing. We've got 24 tomatoes going in the kitchen. We've got another 35 pepper plants going in the kitchen. I just have a little tent. I bought it for $19 at Home Depot. It has four little shelves in it. It sits in front of the window in the kitchen on the southern side. I put the trays in there. Boom, boom, boom. The heat comes and warms up the trays. Before you know it, you've got seedlings. So it's very easy to do.
That is cool.
Oh, it's fun, and it's fun to do. If you got kids, they love it, because every day there's something new. Look, Mommy, there's five new sprouts.
You know, this is so interesting. About 8 or 9 months ago, I've never grown a plant in my life, right? So I was at Lowe's, and I just happened to look in. I was in the gardening section. My husband was looking for some kind of building material, and I was bored. So I went to the gardening section, and on the clearance rack, Ed, they had all these kind of sad-looking little plants, right? Like no more than 2 inches. And for like 50 cents, a dollar. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to see, because we get fantastic sunlight in almost every room of our house. And we have a full, you know, pretty big property with a lot of sun. So anyway, I started growing these sad little plants and repotting them and just like totally taking care of them. And now I feel like I have a flower store and a plant store, because, I mean, I can't tell you how many beautiful, and I kind of got hooked on, I really got hooked on this, and then I started finding kind of like exotic looking plants that like no one has, you just never see, right? And all these plants started taking off and doing really good, so, you know, I repot them when they get big and grow little baby plants, blah, 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 and so I decided, you know what, I'm actually really good at this, you know, happened by accident, that I am going to start a garden. And it's just been really fun. I've been buying seeds and, you know, potting some things and doing some daffodils and tulips and getting ready to do the tomato plants. So I'm really glad we were able to talk about that. And then maybe I think I might try, like, I'm going to take your advice and just try two things.
Well, yeah, and then that way you can really, like, push the fruit to a point to go, like, wow, you know, we got, like, with a healthy tomato plant and two tomato plants, you can get up to, like, between 24 to 35 or 40 different tomatoes off of each plant.
Oh,
and that's a lot
God.
Of tomatoes. I mean, you know, and in some cases, you might be with us, because we have a fairly big space that we're gardening in, we're giving them away, or in some cases trying to preserve them, you know, by making tomato sauce or something when things are ripe and ready, because you just can't keep up with eating it all. So you're saving an incredible amount of money in the process too, just because you're not buying that, you know, 4 months of the year. It's providing to you. And I mean, in this day and age, every penny counts, even though we don't have it in Canada anymore. But you know, I was going to say, you rescued those plants, and mm-hmm. and you brought them home, and your house has the right conditions. But what I'm also getting from you is your electrical enthusiasm behind the process. And the mm-hmm. plants themselves, I truly believe, are receptacles for that, and vice versa. They give you back joy in multiples
so
of ways,
much.
whether they be flowering plants, you know, for visual beauty and just the bouquet of them. All of that is some sort of symbiotic, you know, interdependent relationship that you have with your living environment. And that's the other reason why to do it, is because every day you have that connection and it goes back and forth. I had this wonderful gentleman here from Tesla Magazine, and he is also builds these healing machines that are based on vibratory sort of frequencies. And these are all things that go back to Nikola Tesla and some of the Tesla coils that he developed, in these vibrational frequencies that this company that he's been developing have been working with. And in such case, they've gotten so interesting and have been helping people that they've asked him to actually write the curriculum for using these machines for the universities here in Canada. But the point being is that he came to my studio, because my studio has little to no Wi-Fi here, and not a lot of electrical disturbance, because I live a great distance outside of the metropolitan area. So he brought in these bonsai plants and polygraph tabbed them, and polygraph tabs ran to an A to D converter, an audio to digital converter, that then went to a synthesizer that the plants could access via their own biorhythms. So you could program the synthesizer if you wanted, or the plants themselves could access the actual sounds themselves and or the types of scales that they would play. But he had me interacting with the plants with musical instruments and even these sort of long, pured crystals, you know, and having these moments of intent with the plant. And the plants themselves, you could hear, are giving off almost like a symphony of like electrical sounds and stimulus, especially when interacting with living things. And I'm standing there, and I'm almost in a state of shock and on the verge of weeping, because I can't believe it's happening. But at the same time, it's like confirmation for me as far as like, wow, this is true, you know. And when I am out there talking to my plants, or, you know, holding the soil in my hand and coddling it like it's a child, it's because mm-hmm. my intent is just as important as, you know, saying I grew it. It's what I'm doing in it that matters more than just the outcome of it. For me, for
Absolutely.
The experience, for the plants, for the people that I'm with, it's all part of it. So it's beautiful. It's hard not to do.
That's so funny, because my husband will giggle at me, because I have a whole bunch of plants on this one table that I've grown from little tiny babies. And every morning I just, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm like, good morning, plants, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, they just give me so much joy. They really do. And I'm going to transfer that energy into my new garden.
Well, and it is. It's that, like, I mean, and here's the other thing. Your biochemistry is also just as important in the process, because my wife and I do this thing, and I think it's called scrying in the old age, but we mm-hmm. call it spitting. And what you do is every seed that you plant goes in your mouth. And this goes way back. And if you talk to, you know, people that are even Mennonites and people that are still farming the areas the old way, they do this. And especially when it comes to their food, the gardening food, the types of stuff that they're pulling out every day and eating. And the idea is that the things that your body is missing in the amino acids of your spit and your saliva impregnate the seed at that moment in time, at its early stages, and the plant itself will then inherently create more of what you're missing from your diet or things that might help you. So this even goes further, even into the idea of the intention, that sort of subtle energy system of thinking about, okay, this is what why I'm doing this. This is what I'm thinking. All of those things. That's even more direct related to your body, and the way that you're saying, okay, well, here you go. You know, you're putting it in your mouth, and then it goes to, you know. And I'm even like saying something while I'm doing it. Every seed that you know we plant, there's this sense of intent. So
right.
They're like children. Your kids are like vegetables.
You know, that's incredibly true, and I appreciate your knowledge so much, Ed. I'm going to have to send you guys some pictures on Facebook or Twitter.
Please, I get excited when people post their vegetables.
Oh, I will do that. Oh, my gosh.
I grew a carrot last
year
that was bigger than a baby.
I'm definitely going to share my pictures with you first and foremost.
Okay,
and I just
good.
Want to say
I'm glad.
Thank you so much for being my guest again today, Ed.
Anytime,
you're fabulous, Kev. And a huge congratulations again to you on all of your success, Ed. You're really
thank you, Catherine,
out
so
there
much.
And making people so happy, and really great job. And enjoy your trip. Have a beautiful vacation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed. We'll talk again soon.
Have a great day.
You too. Safe travels.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. That was Ed Roman, everyone. And he is just amazing and so talented, and we just love him here. So please check him out. And I'd like to thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope that you go and have a wonderful day. And we'll see you guys soon. Bye for now.